Well, now to a story about field research. Right now, most of it is on hold because of the coronavirus pandemic. Labs are shut down, research ships are sitting in harbors, and scientists, like the most of us, have been stuck at home for months. So what are the effects of these kinds of closures on field research? Xavier Lopez of WHYY's The Pulse reports.
Caitlin Frazier is one of the many scientists around the world whose research has been halted due to the coronavirus pandemic.
I think we got to the boat on a Friday and we're supposed to go out that next Monday. And in between the Friday and Monday, the trip got canceled.
She's a project scientist at the Scripps Institution of Oceanography at UC San Diego, studying marine mammal acoustics.
We build underwater acoustic recording devices and they sit on the seafloor and record for about a year at a time. And they collect all sorts of sounds that marine mammals make underwater.
From these recordings of blue whales and other mammals, Frazier and her team try to understand how climate change is impacting marine life.
We have, for example, in the Gulf of Mexico, a 10-year time series that we've been maintaining since the Deepwater Horizon spill. And this spring, we were supposed to start collecting the next 10 years of data. And, you know, there goes that time series for now, which isn't the end of the world, but the longer it goes on, the less useful those data become.
Frazier's team was supposed to retrieve a bunch of these devices from the ocean floor to install new batteries in them and collect last year's data from their hard drives. But some of those trips have been canceled. The team is still trying to get out there and service instruments that are within reach, but a handful of them aren't and are just waiting at the bottom of the ocean. The effects of the coronavirus have already impacted so many other parts of our society. People are dying, unemployment is at an all-time high, the economy is tanking. But the thing about science is that it trickles down. This kind of data collection might not make or break us, but it's part of many field experiments that add to the tapestry that is our understanding of the natural world. And in order to understand that, we need good, solid data.
We have to have that data. We have to have the data all the time.
Alexandra Whitsey is a science journalist for magazines including Nature and Science News.
The planet's changes are happening faster and faster. And unless we have all these instruments around the world working all the time taking data, we cannot track how quickly things are changing.
Whitsey says that this data collection is extremely important for environmentalists who are trying to make an impact on issues like climate change.
And that's the type of data that we have to be able to bring to the policymakers to say, look, changes in the Arctic are happening faster than ever. We've got wildfires in the west. We've got temperatures soaring in the south, southeast. This is new data. This is fresh data. We've got to keep that going year after year in order to be able to have the full story that we can then bring to the table and say, okay, what are we going to do about this as a society?
Many of the repercussions of this lack of data gathering are still unknown, in part because everything is changing so rapidly. As places slowly reopen, scientists may soon have the opportunity to continue their work. But one thing that the researchers I spoke with all agreed on is that these disruptions are really going to impact early career scientists the most.
I was in India in January. I was on a Fulbright student scholarship, and I was supposed to be there until, you know, the following January 2021, at least.
That's Sarika Khanwilkar. She's a third-year PhD candidate at Columbia University, studying forest degradation in India. This summer, Sarika had planned to start a project where she would place sound recorders in the forest to measure out biodiversity. But as the outbreak picked up speed, she realized she couldn't stay there anymore. On top of that, the U.S. State Department ended all Fulbright funding beginning in June, which meant that even if she had stayed in India, she wouldn't have been able to conduct her research.
One of the, you know, strong points of being a Fulbright researcher is your ability to have that support when getting permits to work in certain places, which can be one of the largest hurdles to doing field research in a foreign country. And once that support was going to be over, there really was no reason for me to stay in India.
Ian Billick is the executive director of the Rocky Mountain Biological Lab in Colorado, where many types of field research take place. He's concerned about what this type of large-scale fieldwork disruption will mean for the future of our world. He says that the amount of money that the United States spends on field research is essentially nothing, which is a big mistake, since fieldwork is very important to our understanding of biology, and specifically the type of biology affecting us all right now.
We need to invest in long-term research well beyond what we're currently investing in. We need to be able to identify emerging disease. We need to understand the interface between wildlife and disease. The coronavirus that everybody's experiencing in this pandemic, it emerged at the interface between humans and wildlife, you know, bats and pangolins. So field stations are one of the best places to understand how that interface is working.
Billick says that given all of the scientific advancements that have been made in the past few years, we could have been better prepared to respond to the coronavirus, and that we shouldn't be taken off guard by any new organisms, whether they're viruses, bacteria, or other pathogens sweeping through the environment. For Here and Now, Xavier Lopez.